Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. Marcus and Rob cover the hard court. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
At this time, we'd like to extend a very special welcome to a player making his return to Target Center. Ladies and gentlemen, at 6'11", out of Farragut Academy High School, please welcome Kevin Garnett.
What up? I'm Hardwood Rob. We're back with the One and Done show. It's Saturday morning. It's time to talk Wolves, Gophers. Amanda Zowie B had a pretty big week. We've always planned to start the show off with a poll question. Actually, I should probably first start off by introducing my cohorts. Here joined by more than our weekly guest. He's more than a weekly guest. Marcus and I had this conversation earlier this week. You're definitely more than just weekly guest, Ryan James.
No, I appreciate that. I feel
you're a large part of this program. I don't know that we would actually have a full program without you.
So that's nice. I feel more love now. More part of the show.
Ryan James is here and Marcus Fuller. Well, I want to start off with our poll question. You can tweet us with your response. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. KG, good move or bad move? Marcus, I want to start with you.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to hate on KG at all. You know, when he left Minnesota, I was in mourning a little bit. I did buy myself an Al Jefferson jersey. just to commemorate the occasion. But, you know, I was happy for him to win the championship in Boston. I mean, Ray Allen was always my guy. To see that team, team up with Paul Pierce, I mean, it was an incredible run in Boston. Didn't last very long. I just felt like that Boston team, really, I mean, they just had a few more years in them. You know, you kind of figured if he would have stayed here, would they have made it back to the playoffs? I mean, they didn't really have much around him, you know, and so, yeah. You know, I can't hate on him for leaving. Coming back now, I mean, is he going to give the Wolves much other than maybe, you know, that veteran presence, you know, and people might say, hey, this is Ricky Rubio's team. You know, you're taking away from Rubio the opportunity he has, but he's not ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that he might be in a couple years and, you know, KG can move on. But, I think KG definitely is it's always going to be part of Wolves basketball.
Forever and ever.
And he's part of Minnesota. I mean, he still lives here. He's invested in Wolves basketball. And who knows? He might own the team.
Wants to buy it.
Yeah, I mean.
Expressed that, six months ago?
I think that'd be incredible if he's a part of Wolves basketball when they finally, you know, make that push again and be a relevant team in the West Coast Conference.
I'm just interested to see how he plays. Like, what's he going to take as his role? Yes, he is definitely Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. He is the figurehead.
Thumbed really out. True.
Yeah, 100%. But that was years ago. I mean, now he's averaging 6.8 points per game. What is he going to walk in here and do? Is he going to be the guy who works really hard, he rebounds, he defends, he just gives energy? Or does this dude think it's going to be his show again? If he thinks it's his show and he has the monster ego he had when he was here, not wanting some of the other dudes around him, what's it going to be like? How's that going to affect?
I don't think he'd be coming back if he felt like, you know, he's still going to be the man.
If we were going after Steph too, you know what I mean? Hey. If we were going to somehow lure Marbury back from Beijing, then yeah, maybe I could see him being that way. Well, but he's got the Ubuntu or whatever the Celtics were doing from Doc Rivers. He's got that whole team thing, he's a team guy.
Why not get Marbury back? I mean, come on now.
KG probably don't want him back. He didn't want him the first time.
That's probably the one thing. He was like, hold on, that was the trade clause,
but
the hold
up. He could bring him back and then you just, you know, for like a 10-day contract or something like that and then release him. I mean, so you just have that reunion for about a game. I mean, that'd be great, right?
I really hope not.
Just for one game.
I mean, do you really, think really that hope not.
I'd come and watch that game, wouldn't you?
I guess, yeah, I would. I'd be very interested to watch it.
I'd go if they'd let Tom Gugliotta just be in. If KG's okay with him just walking through the door, then maybe we'd be cool.
Okay. No, really, though, I think KG is, I mean, I've been advocating for a veteran big man all season. That's been my thing for the Wolves. That's what I wanted to see. And I think maybe a month ago was when it sort of, I was talking with Ben Holson, and he was like, yeah, dude, KG. That's what I'm like, man, if LeBron can go back, why can't KG?
Isn't it funny that nobody, like, thought of this. I mean,
well, I'm sure that
realistically, fans did not talk about this.
Well, I think fans were kind of
deadline. They were like,
I think more fans, or at least the interested fans, were probably against it than were for it.
Right.
But he alleviates that pressure of Ricky Rubio being the face of the franchise or Andrew Wiggins being the face of the franchise, because now who's the first guy that you go to after a loss in the locker room? You go to see KG, and that's the kind of presence that he. And who else other than KG can empathize with a 19-year-old budding superstar? I think that relationship and how he really mentors, I'm a firm believer in the mentorship process, that's going to be huge and exponentially ramp up his improvement, Wiggins' improvement and growth.
See, you know, with KG here, you're definitely going to be a top three pick now, though, right? Because and you bring him in, Ryan talks about his 6.8 points per game. They're not winning too many more games.
No, I mean, not at 6.8 and 6.8.
Yeah, they've secured a bottom spot in the league.
I like this trade even more now.
Yeah. Well, KG. I mean, when they go to him in the locker room, I think he'll scream, anything's possible.
I hope so.
After those games, it'd be interesting.
After they beat like Sacramento,
yeah.
They just beat up on the Kings.
So who would you want to have more, you know, kind of mentoring your big man? If you're getting Jahlil Okafor, if you're getting Karl Anthony Towns, you know, whatever big man that I think they should go after a big man in the draft. You know,
yeah.
if you get a top five pick. I mean, come on now. I mean,
nobody else.
They'd be like, I mean, they'd think KG was a god. I mean, it's kind of like when, I hate to bring it up, but like, you know, Percy Harvin and Randy Moss in that situation. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he got a lot out of Percy Harvin, a lot more than maybe another veteran would. That not too many, Percy Harvin wouldn't respect too many guys, you know, and I think Jahlil Okafor coming in here, I mean, if he was the number one pick, you know, whether even Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, they're going to look up to KG like nobody would.
And respect him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a different kind of respect than you have for your coach.
Yeah.
Having respect for a player, one of your peers, whether or not he's 20 years older than you, is just huge.
I mean, I think it will work great. If he's willing to mentor them, which I would assume he is. I mean, he's late 30s now, I believe.
Oh, 38, man.
Yeah, he's 30 years old. If he's willing to mentor them, I think it's great. I think it'll work great as long as he's willing to be in that right role.
He will be. And with the Wolves, obviously, we've got to touch on it just a little bit because I'm still reeling in the after effects of the Zach LaVine dunk contest. We hyped it up quite a bit a week ago. So I just gotta say big ups to my man, Zach LaVine, for coming through and maybe the best dunk contest dunks of all time. Well, I'm just going
to
throw it out.
First of all, was he ever in doubt to win that contest?
No.
I mean, you looked at the participants in that contest. I mean, these guys are game dunkers. They were not, you know, slam dunk contest dunkers.
It was
I want to say it was pathetic because I thought Oladipo tried a little bit, you know. I mean,
he had half of a good dunk.
540, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, but basically, I just love the showmanship by this kid. I mean, he knew that everyone picked him to win the dunk contest. He didn't care. I mean, he was going to come out there, put on a show. And he was going to do – he came in with a repertoire. I mean, he had the dunks that he knew he was going to make. I mean, this guy can fly. He could have probably taken off from the free throw line if he wanted to. But, you know, he's going to keep it to the dunks he knows that's going to excite the crowd, that's going to win it for him for sure. And he delivered.
And each dunk was one and done. It was one and done. We didn't have to watch him miss two, three. It was
Didn't he miss, like, I think
he missed
second or third.
His last
Maybe
dunk.
It was, one
last,
but
it was like the last
but
one.
But it didn't matter. I
it
mean,
was already in a bag at that point.
His misses
the first
were,
two.
You know, I think his misses would have put up, you know, 47, 48 points.
It was Vince Carter-like in the fact that he went out there, wowed the crowd, got it done, and it was over. We weren't waiting around for four or five misses.
No, I like the judge's reaction. The first dunk by LaVine, did you see Dr. J's face?
He just like, dumbfounded. What? The dude was just stupefied. I think we all were.
And, you know, remember when Vince Carter dunked and Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith were going nuts? I mean,
this
reaction from Dr. J was like on that level. I mean, it was all over Twitter. You know?
The lack of reaction was what was.
Exactly.
And, of course, the Space Jam. Now, I got to throw this at you, Ryan, because it was, 2 weeks ago that we started the Space Jam conversation came up, and now all of a sudden, is Zach listening to the show?
No, he is listening to the show. We know that. That's got to be why he brought the Looney Tunes out. It has to be.
It has to be.
I was just waiting to see one of the monsters out there, though.
Or at least to have Busta and CeeLo and Coolio and
Be
Real.
I told you my son watched Space Jam for the first time like a couple weeks ago. They've been playing it about like every other week, you know. I mean, it was Michael's birthday just recently.
Yeah,
so, 52. You know, they probably had that, you know, probably in the bag somewhere. But, you know, you look at Zach LaVine. I mean, this is a kid who, you know, coming into college, I mean, he was just a highlight reel, you know. I mean, yeah. And I think still his game is more about the spectacular than trying to build those skills so he can be, you know, maybe the running mate for Rubio for the future. I mean, his shooting skills, I think, have come a long way. I mean, I think the way he was shooting at times this year was more impressive than anything he did at UCLA. And but it's always going to come back to the dunk contest. I mean, yeah. You know, I feel glad that this kid had a chance to show what he could do on a big stage. But at the same time, he's going to be typecasted as a dunker. You know, I mean, shoot, a lot of guys don't get over that for their careers.
Yeah,
and
no,
he's
going
to have
sure.
to do a lot to kind of overcome that, because now that he's put on this pedestal as maybe the one, you know, we didn't even discuss it yet. Is it the best dunk ever? The best dunk contest ever? Individual performance. I mean, does it surpass Vince Carter?
No, it doesn't surpass Vince. I don't think it surpasses MJ either.
No, yeah.
I think you give him third,
like,
maybe fourth.
We're talking like next level swag with MJ and Vince. Like, Vince had swag bigger than that building. It was huge. And,
right.
And Zach, you could tell there was just something that was, I don't know, every dunk was under the leg. It was almost robotic with the ease with which he did it.
Sure.
And that just sort of took away
from
it a little bit.
Sure, I mean, you kind of felt like, you know, the East Bay Funk, you know, him being from Minnesota, Isaiah Ryder. I mean, he's definitely paying homage to the Ryder a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the pressure that this kid was under.
Huge.
I mean, people have been dogging on the dunk contest for years, and people want to eliminate it. And, you know, they knew that Zach LaVine was a great dunker, but they didn't think that all of a sudden he's going to revitalize the contest as some people are talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Vince didn't face that. He faced a little bit of that pressure. I don't think it was the same pressure.
1,000 props to him for not using props.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just incredible.
But he doesn't have a competitor. You need one more guy that's going to take this contest to the next level. You need a guy to compete with LaVine. You need him to come back and defend his championship. And you need a guy that can kind of be on that level, in my opinion.
I got one more question. Speaking of needs, just to sort of wrap up this Wolves conversation, what do the Wolves need now? And maybe in a couple words, in just a handful of words, what do the Wolves need now? Because I think that they've got the veteran with the leadership, with KG. What else is remaining for the Wolves?
Lottery big.
Lottery big, I like it.
I think definitely. You got to bring a big man that can play defense.
All right, so we've got a big man that can play D, a lottery big man that can play D in essence. And I agree, man. I think the Wolves are maybe a season away. If they're not, as Andrew Wiggins goes.
Season away for what?
From really, really competing. Maybe even grabbing an eighth spot in the playoffs. It's going to be that soon. I believe that. I believe Andrew Wiggins is the type of talent that all of a sudden we're going to look up and we're going to be like, wow, that was overnight. All of a sudden, he's one of the greatest players in the game. I think it will literally be like that. But we've got to talk Gophers. We've got to talk Amanda Zowie B. And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk high school basketball. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Here's some of the best college basketball games in the nation on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Big 10, ACC, SEC, Big 12. The road to March is found on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
A Big 12 interstate battle when the Kansas State Wildcats host the Kansas Jayhawks. Tune in Monday night after high school basketball breakdown at 8.
College basketball on Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket. Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
One and Done on 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob. He's Marcus Fuller. With us, as always, Mr. Ryan James to discuss high school basketball. Let's get into sectionals. Marcus, you're curious, right? Like, the top teams, do you even know?
I mean, I want to know if, you know, Champlain Park is still balling. I want to know if, you know, De La Salle, Apple Valley, some of these teams that everybody knows about that are contenders, you know, what's going on with them?
We have maybe the most anticipated big school state tournament ever coming up, but there's a problem. The problem is our state has a terrible sectional divide. So, like, you look at the top 10, they're all in three sections. So what's going to happen is a lot of the best teams are going to knock each other off in section play. Then that first round of the state tournament is probably going to be a butt kicking, and then you're back to the Final Four, which is amazing. Champa Park's still undefeated, best team in the state. Right now they're untouchable. They'll probably go through undefeated. But then they got to face Maple Grove in the section championship game, most likely. Maple Grove, also very talented team, third ranked in state, just beat Armstrong this week. They play Osseo tonight or tomorrow. Maple Grove's right there.
Who does Maple Grove have? I'm familiarized.
That's the school that has Brad Davison, who's been at Minnesota a few times on a visit.
He's like a point guard?
Yes, he's going to be at Wisconsin this weekend for the Gopher game.
What year is he?
He's a sophomore. I'm trying to think if he was at Wisconsin last weekend or if he's going to be this weekend. One of the two. He Minnesota, Wisconsin, several looking at him. He's got like five offers. They also have Reed Nico, the big guy.
That's
right. The Gophers have looked at a little bit.
6'9". I like his talent for a young guy.
So those two in the same section. You got Apple Valley and Creighton-Durham Hall in the same section. Also two of the best four teams in the state. Apple Valley has Gary Trent, Brock Bertram, Trey Jones, who's Tyus's brother.
I think everybody wants to see them in the state tournament. Like, if somehow they got upset, I mean, that would just be a killer, though.
But Creighton-Durham Hall was preseason number one. They got three D1 kids that are highlighting their team.
Gary Trent, you know, he's kind of like, he's kind of carrying the torch like Amir Coffey. I mean, as the best player maybe in the state right now. I mean, regardless of class,
maybe
most
up for debate.
Most potential.
I would say that's Gary playing. Is without a doubt a top. Like when you do an all state top five, he's on that, no doubt.
I mean, you want to see him in the state tournament.
You do, but then Creighton's also very good. That section championship game was the best game of the year last year.
Okay.
And Creighton knocked them out. That if they both make it, which is gonna be tough because Eastview and East Ridge are also very good. Eastview just beat Apple Valley.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about Creighton though. They just did something.
Oh, they just beat De La Salle. De La Salle is obviously the heavy mega favorite in 3A because they really don't have any competition in 3A. They've lost three games. Maybe not playing their best, whatever Dave Coates, the 80th Thorson wants them to be. Mm-hmm. Still playing fine. Creighton knocked them off in a big, big game.
Did they shut down Sakara Neem? I mean, did Jarvis Johnson? I mean, how did they pull that one off?
Well, Jordan Ammons, very, very good defender. I wasn't there, so it's tough for me to tell exactly what happened. But, you know, Joe Rozga, Sam Newman, they both scored their normal allotment. Donnell Gresham, who's going to Northeastern, did a great job running the point. And they had a double-figure lead most of the game. And, yeah, they just carried away. And that's kind of similar how Apple Valley beat De La Salle, too.
Right. I mean, you look at De La Salle, I mean, they're pretty much loaded, you know, with talent. But at the same time, you talked about, you know, teams like Creighton-Durham Hall, who – I mean, they've got some Division I talent. I mean, they've got guys that are going to play college basketball. Maybe it's not the D1 level. And, you know, and they got some size, too, right? I mean, so,
Creighton?
Yeah, Creighton's got, you know, I mean, not nothing like Apple Valley.
No.
I mean, but they got enough size guys, you know, that are physical and experienced that they can give anybody a good run. And,
yeah, I mean, Creighton-Durham Hall is one of the favorites. I mean, all the teams I've mentioned to you, those four, those are favorites for the state tournament, along with Hopkins, Eden Prairie, who are also in the same section, along with Minnetonka, who just beat Hopkins, and Armstrong, and Edina. So it's like all the best teams are pretty much in the same.
Is that a steady problem?
It's a serious problem. That's why so many schools want a 64-team tournament, and they keep bringing it to the state, but it's shut down by the state people, and most people believe it's because those outstate teams don't want it, because there's some bad sections. I mean, there's some bad, bad sections, and those bad sections don't want they want to still go to state, even though they're not as good, you know, they're not as quality as some of the teams that are up for the state. They still want to go there, and they want to represent their area. But that's kind of a crock because, you know, every area is like a, it's like a, how you say this? It's like a wheel of, like the Wheel of Fortune wheel, kind of widen in and widen out.
Right.
I think everybody has every section has a Metro team in it.
Yeah. I remember one, like a couple years. I mean, they've had some really good teams that didn't make it. I mean, I remember Joey King's senior year. You know, Joey King for the Gophers. I mean, his senior year, he beat Tyus Jones in Apple Valley, and Tyus was a sophomore, I believe.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, that was a really good Apple Valley team. I think they beat Eastview earlier that year, and it was an incredible game. I mean, Joey King and Tyus Jones were going at it. They both had over 30 points. And one year, Blake Hoffarmer and Hopkins didn't make it. You know, they got knocked off. And
by Minnetonka. Allowed Cole Aldrich because Cole Aldrich and Bloomington Jefferson beat Tonka to go to state that year. So.
Right. So, I mean, there's always really good teams that don't make it. And I don't know if expanding the field would necessarily get those teams in. But, I mean, you don't want to see Gary Trent or Apple Valley or De La Salle not make it.
Is the state league, like, placating these other teams? Is that what it is? Or are they playing the odds that an upset is ultimately better for the tournament?
I think they just want to they want representatives from all areas, which, I mean, I kind of understand that. But for the 4A, I mean, there's literally all eight sections have Metro teams in the section.
Right.
So I don't get the argument. I don't think a 64-team tournament – the only thing a 64-team tournament does is they can create more interest.
Sure.
And it's going to make sure that it's balanced all the way through so that the best teams don't have to crush each other in the sectionals and then play his first round state tournament game. That's a wash. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, that's a joke. You always do kind of keep in mind, like, okay, I'm going to tune out at this time, and then you kind of, okay, now when's it getting into it? And then you just focus in as they're proceeding through the tournament. It's never really like a must-watch all games sort of a tournament.
There is, like, right now in sections, you have to win three section games to get state. There are the section semifinal game in a lot of these sections is tougher for the winner of that section than their first round of state tournament game is. That's not right.
No,
right?
It doesn't make any sense.
But that's what's going on. When you're getting teams that are barely over 500, one or two of them a year in the state tournament. Yep. I mean, I know that's big for their community and everything, but that's not state tournament. Like, that's not state tournament quality. If you bring in the eight best off a 64-team tournament, seeded, you know, you put it on TV, yeah. You watch it seeded, that would be amazing for the state. It creates so much interest. And there's just a few things that are blocking it that is frustrating most of the basketball community.
Yeah, that's devaluing really the quality of Minnesota basketball by elevating those teams that probably don't have any business being there.
And you could still have upsets. I mean, you go through the tournament. Yeah,
especially if you seed like that.
Yeah, you're still going to have some upsets. I mean, upsets are not... I mean, Eastview just beat Apple Valley. You
right.
know, it's very possible that that could happen in either way. It's just, yeah.
So do you know what kind of... Because the sections are starting next week, you said, right?
Yes. Actually, well, so the small school section started on Tuesday.
Okay. So there's already some good stuff that's happening. What is the big stuff that maybe we should be looking for?
Well, next week you're gonna start getting some section semifinals right away. Just about next Thursday, next Friday, and those are the big games to watch for. Now, the next two nights you're gonna have everybody in the state's gonna be wrapping things up. Big school wise, tomorrow or Saturday they'll have the Twin Cities Championship game and a few others like that. But you want to watch for section semifinals coming up about a week from now, because there's going to be some outstanding basketball in section semifinals.
So the players to watch, I mean, you know, obviously we talked about Gary Tran, we talked about Jarvis Johnson and Sakara Neem, you know, I mean Champlin Park,
JT Gibson.
I mean, are there any other guys that could, you know, carry their teams? You know, through sections, maybe in the state.
Well, we talked about Brad Davison, Maple Grove. You definitely want to check out John Warren at Hopkins. Hopkins is making a run. They're playing really well. Let's go Roseville. I didn't mention Roseville. They've only lost four games. Kobe Critchley's a really fun point guard to watch. And watch out for the Natanka Skippers. Got to give the Skippers a level. I had been coaching there. They've won a couple big games in the last couple weeks, and they can make a run as well. In the smaller schools, 2A basketball probably has 25 teams that can win it.
Wow.
And this year, it's a lot more exciting because there's some very talented basketball players in 2A, especially from the Metro teams. So that's going to be a fun tournament. And even Class A, like Minneapolis North went down to Rushford Peterson, one of the best games of the year, and lost at Rushford.
North is a team that I hope make it because, man, I mean, they've got Tyler Johnson, right? I mean,
yep,
they've got
Jameel Jackson.
I mean,
Isaac Johnson.
They might be one of the most athletic teams, you know, in the state, right? I mean,
yeah.
with you know, some young athletes too.
But they got to get through Maranatha, who they couldn't get through last year, and that section championship game would be great. Then you also have Minnesota Transitions, who they got to get through to get there. So at all levels, there's a lot of excitement coming in the state tournament. It's just 3A is less anticlimactic just because De La Salle is so much different. Better than
I got a question. Are any of these guards that, like, uncommitted, can guard the three?
Here we go.
Is it individual that can shut down, you know, these opponents for the Gophers, or is it a team thing? That's what I want to know, man.
Oh,
there's no one
goodness.
Individual. I mean, if Tyus Jones was on the Gophers right now, they'd still be giving up some threes.
I know. I'm just poking.
Hey, I love Tyus, but they might be giving up
games,
even more.
But they're still giving up some threes.
I'm just poking the bear, honestly. No, we're going to continue that conversation. We've got Amanda Zowie B to talk about in a couple of minutes. We've got... it's your boy.
She's
killing
be good.
It. I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse, or the carrot before the horse before the carrot, or something like that. I mean, I know that she's going to be part of our killing it segment. That's my favorite segment that we're going to get to in just a couple
we'll
of
just
minutes.
Ignore it. Then we'll ignore that entirely.
Just ignore it. We'll just forget them. We're
exactly.
not even. We don't
know.
Why do we even need to do your boy is killing it this week? I didn't watch a lot of NBA this week.
We're not
anyway,
even sticking
so.
To see. It's your girls killing it. That's it's just going to take over now. From now on, will be your girls killing it. And if we know a boy that they can. You know, fill in there, then we'll do that.
Should we make a promise, like right now, to just talk about Gopher women's basketball exclusively for
yes.
the rest of the season?
Yes, why not? They're the most relevant basketball team in Minnesota right now. That was before KG came to the Wolves, but, you know, before that, and Levine won the dunk contest. Before that, women's basketball, Gophers, they were the most relevant basketball team in the state.
So at this moment, we're going to make a pact. Ryan,
I'm not with you.
let's just make a pact.
There's nothing wrong with girls playing basketball. It's just I'm not that interested in it. I'm sorry.
Well, if you watch that game that Zali had, I think she'd bring your interest back.
All right, we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, some notable NBA trades as the deadline passed earlier this week. Aaron Aflalo went to Portland. The Sixers picked up JaVale McGee, the Shaq and a Fool Lifetime Award winner. Sacramento picked up Andre Miller in exchange for Ramon Sessions to Washington. The Thunder got DJ Augustine, and I think they got Brooke Lopez as well, if I'm not mistaken. Goran Dragic was flipped to Miami, and in exchange for Thad Young to Brooklyn, Kevin Garnett returns to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Which leads us to my favorite segment. Your boy is killing it. My boy is making a homecoming. Kevin Garnett is my choice this week for Your Boy is Killing It. I don't think I really need to expand on why. Everybody knows KG is coming home, and that's where he belongs. Marcus, your boy?
My boy is a girl, man. You know, your girl is killing it. And I think this is what the third time, maybe the second time at least, that we brought her up on the show for Your Boy is Killing It.
Yeah.
Amanda Zawi B. And 39 points, 29 rebounds, a Big Ten record.
Say that again.
39 points, 29 rebounds for a Big Ten record. They beat Iowa this week. And Iowa was the 13th ranked team in the country. I mean, she could have flirted with about 40-30 there. I mean,
40-30.
She
got Zowie Bede.
She put up. She went Wilt on him. No, she went Wilt Chamberlain on him. I mean, the first half she missed 11 shots. So right there, you know, I mean, she did pick up some extra boards. But again, you missed 11 shots, and she came back and had an incredible second half. But you missed 11 shots. She could have probably had 50. I mean, you know, and it's coming now. She's only a sophomore. I mean, we're gonna see see her break some national records by the time she's done here.
How many shots do you know? How many shots she took? That's a lot.
She took 31 shots.
I mean,
that's
not only is that like just incredible. I mean, but to have the stamina to take 30 shots in a game.
And I'm glad you brought that up because last year she could not have played more than about 22 minutes. She lost 20 pounds in the offseason. New coach, Marlene Stallings. She has a tempo that's just fast-paced. I mean, they create a lot of turnovers, create a lot of steals. Kind of like what Patino wants to do, but not quite. And, you know, this is a girl who, I mean, she was dedicated in the offseason to making sure that she was going to be the best player in this system possible. And then with Rachel Banham's injury, the All-American guard, she had to take her game to the next level. And this team was not going to be NCAA tournament worthy without her taking her game to this level. I mean, they would not have been. You know, right now she might be the best center in the country, not just in the Big Ten. You know, to me, she's a shoo-in for Big Ten Player of the Year. I mean, I don't see how. You can. And there's another girl in the conference, Kelsey Mitchell from Ohio State. You know, Ryan's giving me a look because I know. I know more about women's basketball than he does. He wished he did, but she's leading the nation in scoring.
She put up 39 and 29
she
at any point this season?
She did not, but she's averaging 25 points a game. But there's no way that Zali cannot win Big Ten Player of the Year, in my opinion. She's not on the Naismith Award list for National Player of the Year, but they're gonna fix that list. That list came out a couple weeks ago. Actually, it came out last week, and she was not on it. They don't really update that list too much. They don't update it that much. But John Wooden list, she's on that one. Is she going to win National Player of the Year? No. But, I mean, I think that she deserves to be mentioned. If she's going to be in the conversation, if not the front runner for Big Ten Player of the Year, she needs to be on these national award lists. And
will she be back next year?
You know, in the women's game, you can't, you know,
they don't leave.
The WNBA won't take it.
Because if you put up 39 and 29, I would imagine that there's somebody out there that wants to hire you.
But you know what? If she would have, she's from Sweden now. She's a Swedish
Shaq. She could go home to
She's
play.
A Swedish Shaq. So if she would have.
The Swedish Shaq.
The Swedish Shaq. That's her nickname. There you go. But if she would have stayed in Sweden now and not entered college,
right.
She could have left and went straight to Sweden to the WNBA at 19 years old. You know, that's how it works in women's basketball. That's why Brittany Griner, I mean, she was dunking, you know, and she was like an eighth grader. She was dunking, you know, so by the time she went to Baylor, she was like she had kind of revolutionized the women's game for college. But she had to wait 4 years to go to the WNBA. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, she was more of an athletic player when she was a freshman in college than she is now, you know. So,
sure.
I mean, she would have probably had about two or three dunks a game if she came out of her freshman year in college.
That seems unfair.
I'm covering everything under the sun these days, so I don't have time to really look into it. Tell me a little bit more. Now I'm curious, you know, like, what position does she play? I mean, has she got NBA, WNBA size? What
You're
is NBA?
About Zowie.
I'm not even sure what WNBA size is.
You're talking about Zowie?
Yeah.
I mean, Zowie is 6'5". She's a legit 6'5". And she's playing center. I mean, there's no question she's playing center. But, you know, when you're playing at the next level, I mean, you got to expand your game. And she's done that. She hit a three in this last game versus Iowa. I mean, all those 39 points weren't just like, you know, muscling it up inside and getting and ones. And I think that the fact that she's expanding her game, you know, out the three-point line, I mean, I think she can definitely be a factor. I mean, she puts up these numbers. Okay, it's not what we're talking about, you know, that she's playing in the mid-major conference or something. You know, I mean, there's a girl right now leading the nation in rebounding about 15 a game, and she plays for, like, you know, a mid-major school. Okay, and if Zali played for a mid-major school, she'd be averaging, like, 30 and 20. Okay.
40-30.
But she's doing it in the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten could get, you know, seven teams in the NCAA tournament this year on the women's side.
Yeah.
And so this is great competition she's seeing night in, night out.
Last question before we bring it back. How big was Janelle?
Janelle's about 6'2".
Oh.
I want to say. Yeah, 6'3", 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
But, you know, Janelle was like a lot of experts that I talked to, they talked about her being kind of like a point forward. You know, I mean, she was definitely a passer first. You know, she could score, but, you know, she didn't put up the numbers that Zali's putting up. I mean, she was a good rebounder, but she's more of like a facilitator and a rebounder and not much of a scorer.
39 and 29 is serious. I don't care who you are or where you are, what planet you live on. Who's your boy this week?
Well, real quick, I got to go through Tyus Jones. I mean, what he did against North Carolina, representing Minnesota, was outstanding. That's everyone in Minnesota has been talking about it. Got to throw that out just because it's so worthy. But on the high school scene, Brandon Matthews, Egan, it's a new school scoring record, hitting 46.
Wow.
46 points. The big name, Marshawn Wilson. Now, Hastings is leading their conference, not sure. They played Hill Murray. Marshawn stepped up and hit 14 and 24 shots, 5 trays, 6 dunks, 37 points.
Now you told me he had 5 dunks off air.
Well, maybe I wrote it wrong. But it was 90-67.
So he dunked one from then until now.
When the on-air light goes on, your numbers go up.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of numbers thrown around on here, you know.
6 dunks.
But the thing
and
about Marshawn,
he's not a big man, is he?
No, Marshawn is a 6'1 shooting guard. And Marshawn, I mean, someday he's going to be in high major basketball. Now, he may have to go to the JUCO route, but, I mean, probably doesn't get as much attention just because of the – because, you know, getting the school attention.
Is that academic reasons for JUCO, you think?
From what we know, we don't know that.
Right.
I know he's working really hard at it right now.
I'm not hating on the JUCO level because I played junior college basketball, and, you know, we got some guys
they're
in
there. They're serious ballers.
You know, I mean, he's going to get his shot to go and play at a big-time school.
I do know this. Marshawn is working really hard as a senior. What happens, happens, but someday he'll be playing high major basketball and putting up numbers. I know Minnesota really loves him. Minnesota wants him.
They could use him right now.
So he can guard the three.
Could he guard the three?
Yeah,
he's a strong dude, man. Yeah. He also was a football standout for Hill Murray. I mean, he's a strong. I always want to say Emmitt Smith because Marshawn's so big.
Is he? He's like 6'2"?
Yeah, and he's so thick, strong kid.
I want to see this kid in a Gopher uniform.
Yeah, but it's probably, you know, they like him, but it'd probably be 2017 if they, it was to come to Minnesota. Minnetonka beat Hopkins. R. Miller had another big-time game. I watched Brad Davison beat Armstrong. That was an impressive performance. And then a name we got to start throwing out there is Landon Kirkwood from Brooklyn Center. Landon's going to play. He'll be a top 10 kid. You know, the next time we resort those rankings in 2016, he's a scholarship high major kid, long athlete. De La Salle, Sakar Anum couldn't guard him. Josh Collins couldn't guard him. Gonar Mar did a decent job on him when they played him the other night. But that dude's real. Landon Kirkwood.
Ryan James with his 7 killing it. Boys are killing it.
I left it to 3 or 4.
I wish I had watched Tyus and the Duke game. I mean, I was watching the Gophers get whooped on. But
I had to cover the game. So, you know,
all three of us.
But, you know, the funny part was, like, okay, after the game, we were sitting there in the press conference. And right after we talked to Chris Collins, he was, like, watching the game with us. He's watching the end of the Duke Carolina game, and he was like, you know, my wife, she went to the Duke game.
Oh,
she stiffed me for this one. But it's, I think, you know, and Chris Collins was talking about Tyus. You know, he was saying that this is his amazing kid, his amazing family. You know, he's representing Minnesota well, and you guys are lucky that, you know, that you have a chance to see a kid represented on that level. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll hate on him for not coming to Minnesota. But when you can go to Duke and when you can play in these games that, you know, arguably North Carolina Duke is the best rivalry in college sports.
Not just I think that might even go beyond that. Right. I mean, that rivalry is one of the best
in sports.
That's isn't it up there with like Lakers?
I think it depends. I mean, you know, there's years when, you know, one team just totally dominates the other. I mean, they've had some pretty good games, you know, historically. Almost every game is a competitive one. But I've gone through some periods where, you know, UNC Duke, you know, North Carolina's not very good this year, or Duke's kind of down. But when they're both
like
contenders,
top 15 teams,
they're both contenders, like this year, when they're both contenders, I mean, it's must-see.
There's no rivalry in the nation for any sport where when they're playing, like, everyone's like, oh, I got to see that. Now, there's some you might throw out there, Yankees, Red Sox, but they play too many games.
Right.
Auburn, Alabama, I think that's the most amazing rivalry on the planet, but not everybody wants to watch college
Big
football.
Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan. When those two teams are relevant in football, I mean,
which
they
has been
will
a
be
long
again.
Time.
You know, Harbaugh's going to bring that back, and Urban Meyer.
Not.
I mean, I think
Michigan State, what Michigan State is doing in football is taking away from Michigan. I think it's going to take away for a long, long time.
Harbaugh will bring that back. But back to basketball. You know,
we should have a rivalry conversation at some point. Maybe that's a good idea for a show. You can tweet us your thoughts, as a matter of fact. Is that one and done 105? Should we or should we not do a rivalry show? Because that might be fun. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think
you were talking about
what makes it great about the college rivalries is it's not just about, you know, the tradition. It's about the coaches. I mean, you know, Coach K has been there forever, and that Duke Carolina rivalry stretches back to when Dean Smith was there. You know, he just passed. You know, they honored him.
Yeah.
You know, during the game, and did a lot of respect there on both sides. You know, they know how much Dean Smith meant to the ACC.
Yeah, that was
and
cool.
So, you know, you do that before the game, but they just went at each other. I mean, it was, you know, it was a dogfight to the very end. Overtime. Okafor got hurt. He hurt his ankle. Came back. Like Willis Reed, man. You know, came in there.
Like
He was limping for a while, but then Tyus just took over. I mean, this is a guy that you know, in all the big games this year, not all of them, but most of the big games this year, Wisconsin, you know, Virginia. He just turned it on. I mean, he took a different level, and I think he's not ready for the NBA just yet. You know, and he knows that, I think. But if he keeps having performances like this, you know, I mean, like Ryan said, I mean, there's some mock drafts out there that are picking him as a lottery pick.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, maybe later, but right now.
Okay.
No, he's 25th right now.
Okay, but he's in the first round. And, I mean, you've seen teams in the Big Ten like Michigan. Michigan's lost a guy to the NBA for the last, like, 3 or 4 years, and because they've been projected in the first round. So, you know, I think that this guy's got a chance if he's playing like this.
Well, the other game that we were watching, instead of UNC, Duke had a team that we probably have to discuss at some point because they got a game at Wisconsin in just a couple of minutes. So we're going to preview the Gopher-Wisconsin game next on One and Done. It's 105 The Ticket.
Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. Marcus and Rob cover the hard court. One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, games to get into this week. Today at 3, Clemson's at Duke on ESPN. They've also got Auburn at Kentucky at 6, then UCLA at Arizona at 8. And tomorrow on the Big Ten Network, Indiana's at Rutgers at 4, and Michigan State faces Illinois at 6:30. Monday night, Kansas is at Kansas State on 105 The Ticket. Ben Holson and the superstar Mike Morris will be live at Hubert's for Wolves Wednesday on Radioactive Sports before Minnesota hosts the Washington Wizards. The Wolves are at Houston Monday and in Chicago on Friday. Minutes from now, the Gopher men will take the floor in Madison and try to upset Wisconsin, which leads us to our game preview.
You know, the Gophers here, you know, anytime they play Wisconsin, you know, I mean, it's cliche to throw the records out, but I mean, this is a team that right now is playing, you know, some of the best basketball the Badgers have played in a long time. I mean, this is a team that, you know, they're playing like a national championship contender, Final Four contender. Last year when they played the Gophers at home, when they lost, and they were kind of sliding a little bit. And, you know, this is a team that, you know, had experience last year playing together. Bronson Koenig is a guy that has kind of gone into the starting lineup here, replaced Trayvon Jackson, who's injured at point guard, and he's a tremendous shooter. I mean, this is a kid who could hit six threes against the Gophers, the way they're playing defense right now. And, you know, for the most part, you know, I think Frank Kaminsky, you know, Mo Walker, you know, he played well versus Wisconsin with Kaminsky. Actually on the bench, got into foul trouble early, had a big game versus Wisconsin last year with 18 points. You know, I really do think Mo, they're going to have to go through Mo. You know, I know they want to speed it up and try to get Wisconsin to get Wisconsin to turn over the ball, but that's just not going to happen. I mean, Wisconsin just doesn't turn over the ball quite a bit. So I think, you know, they got to get into Mo Walker. You know, are they going to defend the three? Who knows? I mean, this is a team that, that I think every opponent they play will look back to the Indiana game, will look back to Northwestern, and they'll have the confidence to hit it. And I mean, if it's at home, you know, if it's at the barn, it doesn't matter. This is a team that really is going to have to play better offensively, I think, to handle Wisconsin in Madison.
This game to me is scary because two reasons. One thing that we're not talking about enough from the Northwestern game is the ridiculous turnovers they had. I mean, this the no not enforced throw the ball to where my teammate isn't.
Bounce
I mean,
it was, off of your heel.
Yeah, there were 6-7 of them, and it was ridiculous how many. And that's just a mindset. That's just you and your teammates being on the same page. That's being focused, and it just wasn't there. So you take that issue, and then that's happened. Then you have the Wisconsin game. Now, what's Minnesota's problems with the three-pointer? I mean, the problem is they're struggling with communication. They're struggling with their position on the floor. And most importantly, they're really struggling to defend all screens properly. Well, now you're going to play Wisconsin the way they run the swing. Like, they're going to screen you to death. And the thing is, the Gophers are going to come in there pumped up because they're playing the Badgers. They're going to be all excited. But you know what? You know what takes away excitement? When you have to make box out hits constantly, when you have to properly defend a ton of screens and get there where you're supposed to be, and when Wisconsin's getting wide open shots because you're not doing that, all of a sudden that pumped up stuff, you're gone. You're looking up the clock and you're down eight, or the scoreboard, you're down eight, you're down 10. All that pumped up stuff goes.
Historically, they've actually played pretty well versus Wisconsin on the road in the first half. For some reason, I can remember like the past two or three games, where I'm sitting there scratching my head like, the Gophers are actually leading right now, and the Kohl Center crowd is just out of it, and they're wondering the same thing, like, what is going on here? This is not the Wisconsin team that we're used to seeing.
Right.
And these are some good Wisconsin teams now. You know, I've seen them. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen Westbrook go off 30 points, and they beat Wisconsin. You know, that's the last time I think they beat Wisconsin in Madison. It was an overtime game, and you know, it'll take an incredible performance by Andre Hollins. Well, you know, actually, he's not the Badger killer because he's never beaten the Badgers in Madison, but he's the Badger killer in the fact that they can't stop him. I mean, you know, you look back at the games that Andre Hollins has had against Wisconsin, he averages like 20 points plus versus Wisconsin. It's just something about this game that just takes his game to another level. And really, I mean, the way he played in this last game against Northwestern, I'm expecting a big game from Andre Hollins.
I expect Andre to play big as well. And if you think back to that last time they won in Madison, one of the big things they did was they full court pressed the Badgers into problems. I remember that was one of the best games De'Ron Bostic ever played as a De'Ron team Bostic, basketball player.
Wisconsin native, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this is a Wisconsin team that, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, of course the Minnesota fans are saying, oh, they're due for one.
Are they really?
Another loss. You know.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, they respect a good team, but I think they just feel like, you know, and the same thing with Kentucky. People are saying, oh, it's going to come. You know, their loss will come. You know, whether
it's Wisconsin's good. Loss already came.
Well, it did without Frank Kaminsky. You know, they're saying if at full strength, this Wisconsin team is still going to lose before the tournament. And I don't see.
I don't
you
know. Well,
they play Minnesota twice. So if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Minnesota. But no, I don't think in Madison.
I can buy one in Williams Arena, definitely. Late in the season, but I can't go into Madison.
Like a couple weeks
I can't
from now.
See it, man.
This is a Wisconsin team that right now they're on a 9-game Big Ten win streak. It's the longest streak for them in the Big Ten since 1940, 1941.
Are you serious? That's
who was the president in 1940? I have no idea.
Eisenhower. I have no idea.
We're looking around the studio. Not in this studio. We're finding anything.
No, not today. So if your expectations are correct that Andre Hollins is going to have a big game, I would imagine if I'm Bo Ryan, that's what I'm predicting as well. I mean, let's be real.
But they do. I mean, every game they're predicting that, and they can't stop it.
Let's be real, though. who else is going to step up? Because if they're going to have even a whiff at victory, they're really going to need to get somebody else to produce. Well, is it going to be
when
Mo?
They beat, you know, the funny thing is the last time they beat Wisconsin, Andre Hollins wasn't even playing. He right. injured himself, injured his ankle within the first minute or two, and they just rolled Wisconsin. I mean, DeAndre Mathieu was an amazing in that game. I mean, that was one of the games that kind of put him on pace to be the MVP for this team. You know, Mo Walker did his thing, but DeAndre Mathieu, I mean, Mo Walker did a lot of his inside being defended by Sam Decker. 6'8". I mean,
Sam
he's not
Decker.
Decker's not he's not a center. I mean, he's not physical. I mean, he's a small forward and he's athletic.
He doesn't want to
be mixing up inside with Mo Walker. So Mo Walker just killed him, you know, on the glass and inside. And when Kaminsky was out, but Mathieu was just, I mean, he was all over the place defensively. He was getting to the basket. You know, they did speed up Wisconsin a little bit. And, I mean, he broke out of a slump offensively, you know, recently. But he's going to have a pretty big game for them to have a chance to compete.
Oh, that was going to be my answer, too, because just DeAndre is something that Wisconsin doesn't really have. I mean, you know, for better or for worse, he's a different player than they have. He's shorter, but he's also extremely fast, and he can apply ball pressure. And those are key things that's a difference in the game, but which difference will it go? And then you look at the flip side, what does Wisconsin have that's scary if you're a Gopher fan?
Well, everything.
Yeah, but I mean, Nigel Hayes right now, he's the one that tortures you because, like, I remember him taking pictures with Tubby Smith on his visit and thinking, boy, Tubby might have a chance here. And no, he went to Madison, and he's killing in Madison. And, like, he's the guy that I think should scare Gopher fans.
Well, Nigel Hayes... Sam Decker, you know, Frank Kaminsky. I mean, someone argued with me on Twitter that, you know, the Wisconsin had the best front court in the country, and it's hard to debate that. I think Kentucky does. But other than that, I mean, I don't see a front court. They're so dynamic. I mean, all three of them can shoot. You know, Kaminsky is a lot more physical than I gave him credit for last year. You know, I didn't see it. And then all of a sudden in the tournament, you know, he was just busting guys. And I think, you know, you look at, you know, Sam Decker. I mean, this is a guy that we just not have seen the best of him yet. You know, I think the last game, Penn State, he had 22 points was his career high.
Really?
Career high, 22 points versus Penn State.
See, I kind of thought that was because he's not as good as advertised.
No, he's very good.
Got the talent.
It's not the perfect system for what Sam does on the court. I mean, he's obviously good for them because
sure.
he's a good basketball player, and Bo Ryan can get the best out of guys.
He's got a pretty big role.
Yeah, but if he was like, it's not the perfect system for Sam, what he does. And Kaminsky, I mean, once he took over and ran with it, I mean, they're going to go through him. And even Nigel Hayes, I mean, you know, who knows? If Kaminsky struggles a little bit, is in foul trouble, you know, last year he wasn't able to take that next step and become, you know, that big game player that he is this year. With Kaminsky out, but you know, if Kaminsky's in foul trouble again, I mean, Nigel Hayes to drop off to him is not a bad thing at all. But you know, I brought up Bronson Koenig in the beginning. I do think he's the key. 3-point shooting is just a disaster for this team right now, defending the three. And Koenig, I mean, can go off. I mean, he can really have a big game. And I know he's licking his chops. Everybody that's playing Minnesota now will be licking their chops. You know, when it comes to the 3-point line, I kind of even want to go back.
Reset. Let's get it out.
So let me ask you this: do you think we're going to see, because against Northwestern, it looked like we saw a little bit of depth in the lineup. Are we going to see more of that against Wisconsin? Are guys going to get run who didn't get run before?
You can't. To me, in an environment like the Kohl Center against arguably one of the top five teams in the country, you just can't afford to have guys. You know, just not show up, and because of the environment, they're not used to being there. And like you don't want to play Gaston. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, he might play Gaston, but I wouldn't play him. You know, and I would go back to Carlos Morris. Carlos hasn't played, you know, in Wisconsin. You know, but I think that Carlos in the lineup, he's been in the lineup with these guys more this year. There's a bit of more chemistry there than with Charles Bugs. Charles Bugs is not ready for this starting role yet. You know, I think the experience that they're giving him right now is great, and he can still play some minutes that can help this team. But I think they need to bring that core back, the starting five that have played together for most of this season.
I personally don't think there's anything you're going to do this weekend other than just say rivalries is Wisconsin, other than get the spark. But if you saw a lot, if the one thing that I feel might happen is I could see an Elliott for Mo, because Patino was furious at Mo last night. I mean, he was
furious at a lot of guys.
But
after
he
the
was
game,
super
he said,
heated
he didn't
at Mo.
Say Mo, you didn't have heart. He said the whole team didn't have heart.
Well, you know, if I was Bugs, every time
they need Mo scoring.
But
yeah,
but you're right. But the Elliott with Elliott though, like he, I mean, you can switch that. And it's, I mean, Elliott's experience. He's done
Kaminsky's going to get his against
either. Yes,
he's
gonna,
yeah, it
he's
going to
get against Elliott.
No,
Elliott
I'm just saying that's what I can see as potential. Potential line.
I'd rather see. I mean, I don't necessarily think that Elliott is going to contribute a whole lot as far as offensively, but I can see why he might be on the floor. Now, to Bugs real quick, because I'm watching him when he comes off and Joey comes on the floor for him. If I'm Bugs, and because we talk about this dude and his potential and the things that he can do and the things that he isn't necessarily putting together. Man, every time Joey King comes on the floor for me, I'm ready to punch somebody in the mouth because he should be insulted every time Joey King comes on the floor for him because he could be thrice the player that this dude is. This dude.
Well, Joey, first of all, Joey and him have been starting lately.
He's so
reticent.
What
I mean, they've been on the floor together. So I think that, you know, first of all, I agree with you in the fact that I don't necessarily like them on the floor together for a lot of the time because they're similar in the fact that both
they
of them are
the
more small forwards than they are.
They play the same
men.
Position.
Bugs has athleticism, but he's still kind of more of a perimeter guy. Wants to be out there shooting,
which doesn't make sense at all with his size and strength.
But I think King, you know, he does the little things enough to warrant starting right now.
Without a doubt,
there's not a guy that. First of all, it's not like there's a whole lot of depth that they can bring a guy in that can that replace him. He hits some big shots. I mean, he does makes a lot of mistakes. But you know, the beginning of the
willing to take them.
The second half versus Northwestern. You know, he hit a couple threes, you know.
He had a minute stretch there where he came out and played. I'll grant you minute.
And it's not, you know, I think there's times when you scratch your head and say, oh, my gosh, Joey King, you finished with zero rebounds.
Well, it's not so much confidence in your own game. There's a reason that you're playing at this level, and it seems like he's just playing without the confidence.
Joey plays because he has a better understanding. Now, granted, in Indiana, he got backdoor cut twice that drove me nuts, and the rebounds thing is, it's.
But that's just
not
him.
I don't know how to explain it.
That's not him.
But Joey plays because he understands how to play on both ends, and he consistently will make the right call. Now, yes, I know at the start of the second half, him and Mo both went the screener, and it was a wide open three to start the second half. I mean, yes, he does make some of those mistakes, and there have been a few bit more lately. But in a grand scheme of things, Joey knows how to play on both ends, and for the most part, Charles Bugs is like never showed it. Now, lately, he's been better. I'm not saying lately he has been better at things. Like I saw him charge through between a screen to get to a spot to cut off a pass, and I was like, holy. Like, really? Charles did that? Like, wow,
did
it's
you
coming.
Know what he was doing? No,
it was an accident.
Wow. I thought you were going to come down on me for going at Bugs. But
dude said Charles Bugs.
I like Charles.
On Thursday,
potential.
He said he's going to compete with Zach LaVine in the dunk contest.
We got to wrap it up. So predictions for today's game.
I think the Gophers are going to make it competitive. I think Wisconsin will win this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
Right. I give it a competitive 16 minutes. Wisconsin wins by 15.
Well, if that's the case, then we'll just look to bounce back two games from now and get them again. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket. We'll be back next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening.
WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, and serving the world at 105theticket.com. Your home for pure sports talk. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.